Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 80, the first four stanzas. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. I call upon thy name. O save me in thy righteousness, nor let me suffer shame. 1-4 of Psalter 80. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, thereof the 7th chapter. Matthew chapter 7. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite? First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, but few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Wilma Den Hertog with her family, as she has lost her grandmother in the Netherlands. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God of the heavens and of the earth, we try to draw nigh to thee, who are but dust and ashes, and we have in ourselves no right, but Lord, thou dost yet invite fallen, sinful men to draw nigh to thee, that it may be a wonder unto each and every one of us. For we may come one more time together in this year, which has flown by, so that we stand in this evening upon the threshold of its departure, and that forever and forever. For it is a time which shall never return. And thou knowest what our life has been and is. Thou knowest what has been brought forth in the time that is now gone. Lord, that thou would forgive our many sins and all that is within us that fights, that militates against thee and thy truth in thy holy word. And could it please thee to remember us in mercy? Lord, thou knowest what we are even in this evening hour. It is a time that calls us to reflect. It is a time which calls us to consider, thus to look back and to look forward. It is a time wherein we see an end that is fast approaching. And therefore, we are called to consider what an end is, what an end means. And Lord, so also our life, so also this world. But thou knowest how we live, as if there is no end. And thou knowest who is able to affect their own heart with thy truth. That is not one of us. But we go on in our dead state by nature, in our foolishness, in our wretchedness, in our sin, not calling, not crying, not groaning unto thee, but going on as one that is careless of all these things. O Lord, what is our expectation? And then it has never come from our side and will never come from our side. And there is but one hope for us, which thou layest out before us in thy holy word, that is thy mighty hand, that is thy sovereign good pleasure. Lord, we beseech it of thee then in this evening hour. Because if thou wilt not begin, then we shall not begin. And if thou wilt not turn us, then we shall never be turned, and we shall go even unto our end as we were born. And what shall it be to meet thee after all the callings and all the warnings given unto us in our life? Lord, who shall be able to stand before thee without guilt? All our righteousnesses, they are but as filthy rags. And that is in thy sight, but it must become so, Lord, also in our sight. Oh, we need also eyes to see it. May thou then open our poor blind eyes and give us to see. Open our ears even in this evening hour and give us to hear. Open our hearts and give us to understand for the first time or by renewal. Lord, wilt thou work when we cannot work, when we will not work? Wilt thou then look upon us in our dead state, but wilt thou also look upon thy children? And that thou may also renew that work which thou hast begun. That thou may also finish that work that thou hast begun. For it is a people that are not able to die in themselves. It is a people who cannot deny this or that in their life. It is a people who dare not deny what thou hast done, and yet it is not sufficient that they may pass out of this life. All thou knowest, the many fears, the many questions, the many riddles that do perplex them from day to day. Lord, wilt thou be pleased to remember thy true church, that thou would visit them also even in this evening, that thou may give us also a word for them in due season. But wilt thou give them to make their calling and election sure, that they also may be able to stand before thee in judgment, with that peace and that rest of that full assurance of faith, that they may not fear to come before thee, but that they may be given to rest in him who has taken away all the iniquity and all the sin of his church. But Lord, thou knowest that thy people, they stand so often on the outside of it. Oh, that thou may give them that a faith in exercise, and that thou may lead them from step to step on that way unto Zion, that they also may be a testimony in the midst of the church in the latter days, when so many of Satan's devices are also brought within the church of God. Oh, that thou may remember us as a congregation and as a denomination, when Satan seeks to destroy thy precious truth, when man is brought into the foreground in as if that he had ability, even in his deep fall. Lord, may thou restore once again thy truth even upon our own pulpits, and also over the length and the breadth of the whole world, that thou may keep us with thy truth indeed, and that the devices of Satan may not be permitted to destroy what is left unto us by the hand of our forefathers, and in thy good pleasure and eternal decree, for the sake of us and of our dear children. Oh, it is not according to our flesh, O Lord. There is none of us that desire it. But oh, that thou may show thyself to be the strongest one, then we shall be overcome by thee.
And that prince, that strong man armed who keepeth this palace within, oh, when he may be bound and cast out, and when thou may take up thy abode within, then thou shalt have such a willing people in the day of thy power. Oh, remember those that desire it, Lord. And wilt thou take each and every one of us for thy own account in mercy? And thou hast looked upon us in such a way that we have also together been spared as a congregation, that none of us has been taken away in the year that is gone by. Lord, humble our hearts in thy sight, for thy sparing mercies bestowed upon us. But give us also a heart to understand, and that thy goodness may lead us to a true repentance. Wilt thou look upon us then in this evening? Do help us in the preaching of thy holy word. Oh, that this simple truth that thou dost state in thy holy word may be bound upon our evil and wretched and carnal and worldly hearts in this evening hour. Oh, for this, the work and the words of man, Lord, they are insufficient. All that we can say, we cannot bind it upon the heart of one person. But when thou wilt speak in this evening, oh, then it is possible that we go out of this place with an arrow between the joints of the harness, that we are severely wounded, that we may begin even before this year draws to its close in its final hours, and that there could be a blessing in store for us in thy house of prayer. Oh, we are undeserving, Lord, of the least of all thy mercies, all thy notice and attention. But wilt thou take reasons out of thyself? Look upon those that mourn. Also her that has lost a grandmother far away. Supply for her and them, and all those that miss one another in the days in which we are living, and that are sorrowful, wilt thou supply in thy mercy. Forgive and keep us from all iniquity, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 159, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from Thee, but Thou wilt hear my cry. When I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest, that higher is than I. We announce that, the Lord willing, the youth group hopes to meet on Saturday evening, not in Picture Butte, as was stated in the bulletin, but in Lethbridge. Psalter 159, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Congregation, it is the last day, it is the last evening, they are the last few hours of the quickly bygone year 2008. That is a very solemn thing in and of itself. Why? Because it speaks to us about an end. And it ought to make us, especially in times such a time such as this day, it ought to make us consider. It ought to make us meditate upon our end. We do not do that so often. Or is that different, young people? We do not do that so often. To meditate, to consider, to think about our end. No, most of the time, and we are thinking about the continuation of our life. Why is that, that we do not think, that we do not meditate so often about our end? Well, that is in the first place because we do not believe it concerning ourselves. Yes, certainly we all know it. Yes, certainly we all believe it. Yes, certainly we all say it with our minds that we are coming to our end. But that does not mean that the reality of the fact that we are dying creatures, that this is bound upon our hearts. That is something that is so different. And the Lord says in His Word what our thoughts are. The thoughts of man, wicked man, fallen man. Our inward thought, even though we have a mouth that makes confession, our inward thought, that is, that our houses shall continue forever. And our dwelling places to all generations, we call our lands after our own names. That is now the truth. We do not need to ask you what is in your heart, because what is in your heart, that is in our heart. Oh, why is it that we do not think about our end so often? That is because we are so carnal. We are not spiritual, but we live for the things that are here and now. Why is that we do not think so often about our end? It is because we are so foolish. Then as long as we have our comforts at the moment, then what is going to take place in the future, well, and that seems to us so irrelevant. Is it not all proof, congregation, of our deadness? Is it not all proof of our spiritual death in our father Adam? And what will be our end if we so continue in our life? What do we need? We need the Lord to come. We need the Spirit of the Lord to quicken us. And we need the Lord to speak and to say, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." How does He do this? Well, the Lord is doing this for the most part by the preaching of His holy word, the explanation, the application of His word. Therefore, He has sent out His servants to preach His word. That has happened so many times now, has it not, in the year that has gone by? that we have stood here and that other of God's servants have stood here to preach His holy word, and that the word of God was also read from the servants of God that have passed away already. 52 Sabbath days of the past year. What was the fruit? When that now all comes to a close, just like our life that is also soon coming to a close, and then the last sermon that will also be heard by us. And when we had to appear before the Lord in this night, that is what this day speaks to us, that is what this day preaches to us. That is what we ought to consider. That was what we ought to meditate on this night. If we had to appear before the Lord this night, then every sermon and every time that you have read that holy word of God in your life and in this past year, that is all going to come with us when we stand before God in judgment. Every word that we have heard, we will have to give an account for. Oh, how great is the responsibility of man. Do we ever feel something of it? One more time. If the Lord may bringeth us through it in this evening one more time, and then in this year we may try to bring that word unto you, may it therefore bear fruit by the Spirit of the Lord. We wish to consider together Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So far the words of our text. A standing and a falling house. First, the purpose of a house. Second, the house built upon the sand. And third, the house built upon a rock. Standing in a falling house. First, the purpose of a house. Second, the house built upon the sand. And third, the house built upon a rock. Why, congregation, do we need a house? Well, we need a house for protection. We need a house for shelter. And when do we need protection? When do we need shelter? That is not when it is daytime. That is not when there is warm weather. That is not when the sun is shining. Then maybe, children, we would go outside. And we would say, Mother, Father, maybe today we can eat outside. We do not need to be in the house. Or maybe you have even gone outside and slept outside. When the weather is fair, when the weather is beautiful, then you say, I do not need my house. But when do we need the shelter? When do we need the protection of a house? Maybe in the daytime, then you say, well, you can't believe that it would ever become different than it is. And with such a clear sky and that sun that is shining so brightly, and you cannot imagine how that ever could become different than it is at this moment. Oh, but when do we need that house? We need that house when it is night. And when we need that house, when the beasts of the earth, they are creeping forth. We need that house when it is cold, when it is windy, when it is rainy, when it is stormy, when it is snowing. Oh, then we are so glad that we may come into the shelter, into the protection of our own home. And from inside our house, then it can look so beautiful outside. When the snow and the cold is on the outside, and when we may look outside from all the warmth and from all the protection of our house. Purpose of a house. Oh, when our houses are built, when we are building them, then how are we building them? You know that yourself, young people. And then maybe you have helped sometimes to build your own house, maybe. And then you want to build that house so that it can withstand the elements. You do not want to build that house just as if every day was going to be fair and sunny and it was going to be warm. And then you would maybe not need a roof on your house. You would not need a door on your house. But you want to build your house so different. No, you know that different times come. You know that there are thieves, that you need a door, that you need a lock on your house. You want to build your house so that it can withstand the greatest storms that you may expect in your place sometimes. We were in this past few days. And by in Washington, and we come over the border, and there it was explained to us, we see these houses, they are on the side of the mountain. And that is a place where sometimes the earth is beginning to shake. And thus, when they are building those houses, then they are doing much more than we have seen that we do here to build our houses. But then they are taking these large rods, and they are drilling holes into the sides of the rock. And they are threading these rods into the side of the hill and bolting their homes even to the side of the mountain so that when the earth should begin to quake and to tremble, and that house will not fall. There are always those in such circumstances who do not see the necessity. No, and they want to build their house for a little bit less money. They can do this a little bit cheaper. And actually, well, does it not look just like all of the other houses, or maybe even nicer than all the other homes that are about it? And as long as there is no storm, and as long as there is no wind, and as long as the earth that is not quaking, then they are boasting themselves of their ingenuity and of their wisdom, that they have built their house for such a price. But congregation, only read in the newspaper, only read what is going on in this world, and how many houses of persons in this world have not become their very graves. And now this is the picture. This is the picture that the Lord Jesus Christ, that great prophet that was sent from God, that was born children into this world. This is now the picture that that great prophet is laying out unto the multitude. Then he is speaking about men who are building their houses, and then you understand that the Lord Jesus does not want just to speak about temporal things and building of houses, no. No, but the Lord Jesus, when he speaks his parables, then he has a message. Then he wants to say something, and he wants to bring a spiritual message home unto this multitude. What will the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus will say that on the outside, it can be that we do not see any difference. No, not between a house that is built on the sand or a house that is built on a rock. And yet the Lord Jesus says there is such a difference. There is such a great difference. Where is the difference? That difference is lying underneath the ground. The difference is lying in a place that man is not looking, in a place that man is not seeing with his natural eyes. But it is a difference which is foundational. That is a difference which is going to mean everything. When? Not when the weather is fair. No, but it is a difference which is going to mean everything when that storm, he says, is coming. It is going to mean everything in the night of trial. Why? Because one house will stand and one house will fall. Is that not a great difference? That the Lord Jesus attempts to portray concerning mankind in this world. Thus, the Lord Jesus, he makes a distinction that the Lord Jesus is doing over and over and over again in his word. He makes a distinction between the different kinds of hearers that are with in the multitude to whom that he is preaching. He says that they are not all the same. No, but he says there are those that hear his sayings and there are those that do them. And there are those that hear his sayings and there are those that do them not. Many, he says, hear his sayings. But not everyone that hears is, he says, a doer. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things, he says, that I say? Thus he speaks of those who have an outward profession, but there is no fruit. It is not the true work of the Lord. And he says that it is going to reveal itself. No, not immediately, but one day it is going to reveal itself as being without foundation. Many are called, few, he says, are chosen. To be outwardly called, that is to make us a hearer. But to be inwardly called, to be chosen, is to be made a doer of the word. Thus it is very simple. But congregation, let us lay our own heart and life next now to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. This difference, he says, is soon going to make itself known. When in that stormy night? No, he says, now it is not a storm yet. But what does the Lord Jesus say? That storm is coming. Thus, congregation, how easily we sit here together.
How easily we sit in comfort. How easily we sit resting together. There is none that are in distress. We do not feel an urgent need. We are not afraid. No, we are not standing, as it were, at those gates of death. It is just as if it is the daytime. It is just as if that sun that is shining still so brightly. We are still in the land of the living. Oh yes, we come to the end of the year, but then tomorrow we hope that that is going to be another day. And next year we hope that is going to be another year. And we can hardly believe we have been going through this for so many years already, that it shall ever become different than it has been in the past. Congregation, did you ever stand at a deathbed? Then you have seen something of a storm. Maybe you have seen the restlessness. Maybe you have seen, maybe you have heard the cries for the pain. The struggle of the human body. Maybe you have also seen and felt something of the struggle of the soul. And when it was felt that that storm was coming, that that last moment was coming, and that it was necessary to pass out of this life into a world that is so unknown. And then you have felt something of the fear. You have felt the apprehension. And then there was still something that you did not see of that storm. Because when that last breath has been taken, then that body has lain so still. And then you may not see, no, then you are separated from what has taken place beyond. And when that soul has departed, and when that soul has stood before its judge, and when it had to endure that storm, and that day of judgment in a personal way, know of that you were not the witness. The Lord Jesus speaks about this storm that is coming. When, congregation, must we build a house? Children, when must we build a house? You do not see too many of them going up now, do you? No. Why not? It is so cold. And when it is raining, and when it is snowing, and when it is stormy, then it is not so easy to build a house. No, it is necessary to build a house when the sun is shining. So the Lord Jesus is speaking. Thus about the time that we must build a house, congregation, when the sun is shining, yet in our life, are we busy building a house? And what kind of house are we building? Are we building a house which is able to weather that storm that is coming? Or do we expect that day to be just like today when we are sitting here? Thus, how are we building our house? The Lord Jesus gives us such a solemn warning.
When he speaks about a man who has built his house upon the sand, that is our second thought. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Congregation, remember something. Children, remember something. Young people, this is not our word. Who has spoken this? It was the Lord Jesus Christ. When he has stood upon this world, thus we do not bring our own word to you. No, but we are called to preach what he has spoken. Why would any man build his house upon sand? Well, in the first place, he would do so perhaps if he did not believe that a storm was coming. We would say a person who was naive, person did not that was not acquainted with the weather in this area, person that did not realize that sometimes that the mountains can quake and that house that needs to be bolted to the side of that mountain. Or maybe he has heard it from someone else, but he does not believe it to be true. And thus he will build his house upon the sand. And why will he build his house upon the sand? He will do so to spare himself. To spare himself pains. To spare himself labors. So that this house may go up more quickly. He will build his house upon the sand. But that foundation that is so soft, that foundation is that which is able to be washed away so easily. The nominal professor in this world congregation is often mocking and laughing at the pains that are taken by the true church of God in religion. They say that is not so necessary. Why do you make it so difficult for yourself? They are content with a superficial knowledge without the practice of faith. And indeed, that religion that can look just as genuine and that can appear just as true, that can appear even truer or nicer than in the life of God's own people. With more zeal and more work, that you say, that must be now something. But it is missing, the Lord Jesus says. Does not speak about building houses. No. It is missing, the Lord Jesus says, a foundation. And he says, though it can look so nice, though it can sound so nice, yet in that day of trial, he warns that it is not going to stand. Thus, he says, the storm that is going to reveal the foundation of our religion. The storm is going to show it. That is, congregation, in the end. Oh, what shall that be? When the storm reveals that my foundation was a sandy one. What shall that be? Great, great, the Lord Jesus says, was the fall of it. What does it mean, he says, then that soul is lost? Forever, forever lost. Then there is no opportunity ever to build that house over again. Great, he says, was the fall of it. Oh, how it behooves us to examine our foundation. Will the Lord Jesus not have us to do this? To examine what our foundation is. And what we are resting upon when we are building our house. And when we are seeking our evidences of the truth of God's work for our own soul. Thus, what are some of those sandy foundations that man in this world is building his house upon for a great eternity? That the Lord Jesus says are not going to stand in that day of trial. There is one foundation that is a mere profession of the truth. How many, the Lord Jesus says, do not build upon this sandy foundation a mere profession of the truth? And they expect, he says, to enter in, but they shall not be able. They will appear just, he says, as everyone else. Just like a Judas in the midst of his disciples that cannot be known, that cannot be discerned by the disciples. No, he says, it was a foundation of sand. It was a mere external profession. The mere external performance of duties of religion. Congregation, we are baptized. Maybe we may have made confession of faith. Maybe we come to the Lord's Supper. Hopefully we keep the Sabbath day. That is good. That is right. That is commanded. These are the means. But do we make it our foundation? Do we make it our foundation? Because if we make it our foundation, one day we are going to find out that it is a foundation of sand. I saw the wicked buried, Solomon says, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. He came and went. He was faithful. He sat there every Sabbath day again. And he listened. His whole life long. And he was buried. A wicked man. Was insufficient. Oh, then we stand in the same place on that great day of days with all the wicked of this world who have never stepped foot in the house of God and who this day curse and take the name of the Lord in vain and transgress the Sabbath day and lead an outwardly wicked life. And then we will stand with them on the left side it is no foundation. It will be washed away in that day of that great storm. Oh, what is another foundation? Congregation, a foundation that sadly many persons are building on in this life for a great eternity. It is a foundation of mere emotion. It is a foundation of mere feelings, of tears that they have shed and of joy that has been experienced. We do not say emotion, no, we say mere emotion. True religion is not without emotion. But true religion does not consist in emotion. Emotion is not its foundation. Feelings are changeable. We may have them one day, one moment, and the next moment we have them not. And Esau was a reprobate, but Esau also shed tears. We know that Orpah shed tears. But Naomi, when she came to that border, she put those tears of Orpah to a test. Blessed woman. Oh, how we may be thankful if the Lord may give such persons in our midst that may be so discerning as to put our feelings to a test, that may uncover for us our faults, our sandy foundation, while it is still a time of grace. No mere emotion that will be but found to be a sandy foundation. Oh, what is another foundation that persons are building on that is going to be washed away in one moment? That is the opinions, that is the approval, that is the praise of men. What a stumbling block this is, congregation, for so many persons in this world. Oh, if I may only have the approval of the minister, if I may only have the approval of God's people, then it must be well. No, we need the approval of God Himself. Ananias and Sapphira, what did they want? They wanted that the church would recognize them as the people of the Lord, would praise them for their generosity. But it was revealed it was a foundation of sand. Oh, what is man building on by nature? Man is building on the works of the law. A sandy foundation. Paul also tried it that way, but Paul also has experienced himself and that this was a foundation of sand. What does he say? Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. No, what does Paul say? That covenant of works that is broken. That it is no longer possible in that way. That covenant with God that is standing as a foundation for a man. For the need of his soul. What did the rich young ruler say? All these things have I kept from my youth up. One word by the Lord Jesus, and He has revealed it to be completely a foundation that has withered away. congregation, they are just a few things. Every one of us, every one of us is building our house upon something. We must ask ourselves what that something is. What are we resting it upon? What are we trusting in? And is it going to stand that storm that is coming? Let us sing. Psalter 384, 1, 2, 4, and 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 384. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. A wise man who built his house, we read, upon a rock. Who is congregation so wise? That is not one of us by nature. No, by nature, every one of us is the same. By nature, every one of us is foolish. But the Lord himself is making his people wise unto salvation. And then the Lord is making that people to seek something that is more than that which is merely external. Oh, how many times does the Lord Jesus not come against that superficiality in religion? Then the Lord Jesus tells about the sower which sows on good ground. And then he says that there is ground that is not receiving that seed. There is ground that is rocky underneath. There is ground that is thorny. Then the Lord Jesus speaks about 10 virgins. All on the same, they look all, on the outside, they look all the same. But some have oil in their vessels and others do not. What does the Lord Jesus say? Many are going to say, Lord, Lord. And he is going to turn them away. What does the Lord Jesus say? Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Oh, to distinguish, to warn. And in this parable, the Lord Jesus speaks about having a solid foundation. And the difference between these two houses, he says, that is not outward, no, that is underneath the ground. And now this wise man, Luke writes, the Lord Jesus says, he is digging deep. Digging deep. Thus, what does it mean? He is not looking for a quick solution. No, not a quick solution. He is looking for a good, he is looking for a solid foundation. Thus the work of the Holy Spirit to make a person to dig deep. To make a person search within that holy word of God. To make a person come with desire and with longing and with interest and with a searching heart unto that house of God. To make a person to wrestle in prayer with God. To make a person search out his own heart. To cry unto the Lord, Lord, examine me. Try my heart, try my reins. Oh, am I thy child or am I not thy child? To dig deep. To dig past the tears. To dig past the feelings. To dig past the emotions, to dig deeper than the thoughts and the opinions of other men. To lay themselves open to that true and that honest searching of God's true people. The Lord is free, but that foundation that is not most of the time found overnight. No, most of the time, then it takes much digging to come to this foundation. And so many times in that digging that people are so discouraged. And why discouraged? Because that way is so long. But even when that way is so long, oh, then they cannot cease from digging deeper and deeper and deeper because it has congregation to be true in the sight of the Lord. Or even when they think to faint in that digging because they cannot find what that foundation is, then they cannot cease. No,
And the Lord will not let his people faint, but the Lord will bring his people in his own time to rest upon that solid rock. What did we read together? The Lord Jesus says, ask. Ask, he says, and it shall be given you. Seek, he says, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Because everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. No, he does not promise that it is going to be a short way. He does not promise that it is going to be an easy way. He does not promise that it is going to be a way without burdens, without trial, without tribulation, without affliction. Nobody says, you shall find. And so it will be for that people. Oh, who is that rock that the Lord Jesus is speaking of? He is speaking about himself. He says that there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved than himself. Thus, when all the works of that people prove to be a sandy foundation unto them, and when all the experiences of that people prove to be insufficient for them to stand before the Lord, or when all the religion in their own eyes, when that proves to be a bed too short that a man can stretch himself on it, when all their profession that is as a covering that is too narrow, so that a man cannot even wrap himself in it. Oh, that a man is despairing of everything. Then is the Lord revealing. Then is the Lord coming. Then is the Lord giving them to strike upon this rock. Oh, guilty and wretched and miserable, searching and seeking ones in the midst of us. Oh, have you never struck then upon this rock? Oh, he shows himself in the apparel of his word. He reveals himself in the preaching of the gospel. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Oh, you may rest upon this rock. You may rest upon this solid foundation. Why? He says, because I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. I have come to shed my blood and to give it for the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, an immovable, a firm foundation that shall never be shaken. No, it shall not be shaken by Satan. It shall not be shaken by any storm. But upon that mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man, he can rest the entire salvation of soul and body forever and forever. It is acceptable in the sight of God, who said, behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Upon this rock, I will build my church. But congregation, what does it mean now to build upon it? Then we know what that is, who that is, that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus speaks about building now, about building on this rock. And what does that mean to build on this rock? Well, that means that it is not only in an objective way that we may have the knowledge of that rock that we all know. But congregation, that objective knowledge is not going to be sufficient for us. No, but we need also a subjective knowledge. That means we need to know him in a personal way for our own soul. We need to know what it means to come to rest upon this foundation.
Oh, to build upon him is in the first place to receive him as he is revealed and as he is applied by the Spirit of the Lord in the heart of his church. Thus, to build upon him is to receive him by a true, living, saving faith. To build upon him is in that church of God, when that faith that has been planted in its essence and in its being, that is, that people may make use of him also in the exercise of that living faith. Oh, to build upon this rock that is taking place when a poor and wretched sinner may be given to cast himself in all his need and with all his burden, in all his impossibility, upon that blessed Son of God, revealed by the Father in the world. To build upon that rock, that is, when a fearful soul may be given to take refuge in that rock, and by a true faith, that he may come to rest himself under the shadow of his wings. Oh, to build upon that rock, all that is to come as a trembling, as an unworthy one, and to be given to but touch the hem of the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to come as a guilty one, and to receive one look upon him who has taken away the guilt of his church. Oh, to bow before him as such a wretched and unworthy one, and that may hear him speak and to say, "Oh, my son, be of good cheer, because thy sins, they are forgiven thee." Oh, to build upon that rock, oh, that is as one who is who may experience himself to be so naked in the sight of God, and to take refuge in him and to be clothed with his righteousness, or to make application unto him as an empty vessel, and to receive out of him that fullness that will fill to all eternity. It is in these activities of that true saving faith that the soul may build upon him, or that the soul may take refuge to him, that the soul may look upon him with an eye of faith, that it may hope in him, that it may trust in him. And here, even if it is for but a moment, even if it is but one moment, then that soul may feel something. They may feel something of the solidness. They may feel something of the certainty. They may feel something of the rock upon which they may come and stand by that grace of God. A sure and eternal foundation I will leave, he says, in the midst of thee, an afflicted and a poor people. And they shall trust in that name of the Lord. And anything short of this is congregation building upon a sandy foundation. It is now the end. It is now the end. Time is up. And we have to stop for this evening. And we have to stop for this year. The messages, they have come to your ears. For many of you, they have entered into your minds. And if now it is done, And if this is now indeed the last time, oh, let us consider it. Congregation, let us meditate on this. If now this may be the last time, what is now our foundation? What do we know? What do we know of this rock and of building our house upon this rock? Are we even building it all? Or do we never seriously take the time to sit and to meditate upon our end? How long can you do that? Young people, how long can you do this? To sit and to meditate, that is a means also that the Lord is using. Then we need to know something about building on this rock. And only this, when we may know something, we do not need to know the highest things, but we need to know something about building on this rock in an experimental way that may not give us the assurance that we can pass out of this life. But for such it is certain. Because Satan, congregation, does not bring a man to stand upon this rock, to place his hope and his trust. He does not give a man to rest upon this rock. Oh, what do we know? That is the only thing that is going to withstand the temptations of Satan. That is the only thing that is going to be able to withstand all of the errors that may come against us in our life. A trial, a storm, young people. Oh, if you may know something of that blessedness, of what that is to build on that rock, oh, then you will be kept. Then you will be kept from every error that will seek to deceive you. And then you will be kept on that great day of days when you yourself in a personal way have to stand before God. That day of trial is not far away. It is not far away. We have experienced this in our own life. Some of you have experienced the same. One step. One step, and it can be eternity. Congregation, ask the Lord to take away the false foundations that we build on. And we do search. What is it? Say, Lord, let me not rest. Oh, give me no rest until I may be founded and I may be grounded upon that rock that will be able to hold me up on that great stormy day. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, Thou alone can give the application We cannot bring it in our own hearts. We cannot bring it in the hearts of one another. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord. Thou hast promised. I have put my words in thy mouth. Oh, could it please thee to use then this word, thy word, out of our mouth, for thy glory and for the salvation of this our flock. Bring us safely through the night. Wake us safely in the morning hour. Give us a desire and the ability to be together again. Forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 283, 2, 4, and 5. Good is the Lord, and full of kind compassion, most slow to anger, plenteous in love. Rich is his grace to all that humbly seek him. Boundless and endless as the heavens above. 2, 4, and 5 of 283. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.